This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fake the Nation, episode 264.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about culture, we talk about wedgies you may have gotten in high school and the first time you realize that olives actually taste delicious. I'm your host, Nagin Farsad, and I never formally got a wedgie in school, but I did once sit on a whoopee cushion, so I got mine. Today, we're going to talk about the Frenchification of New York City via vaccine passports. We'll dabble in a little Cuomo news. We'll talk about the Olympics, and we'll talk about smell. Today, I'm joined by, oh my God, I'm so excited for this panel. So, returning to the show, he's a veteran of Fake the Nation. You've heard him many times before. You've never quite met him as a soon-to-be father, though, so it's a very special day to have him on. He is host of the Fraudsters podcast. It's exclusively on Spotify, and you should immediately be subscribing to it. He's also one of the best Iranian podcasters in America. And by one of, I mean because there's also me. He is Sina Ghaznavi. Hey, Sina.
Hey, Nagin. I'm glad I think you and I are in the top five of the five Iranian podcasts.
Of the five. Yeah. No, I won't. I can't even say that we're number one and two. You know what I mean? We may be four and five. It's totally unclear. Joining us for the very first time on the show, and I'm so excited because I've been a fan of this man for a very long time. I've had the opportunity to work with him. He used to have a TV show on A&E. He's a comedian. He's a writer. And he now has a new TV show coming out on Amazon called Harlem. Because he's just so fancy, because he's always working, because he's always making people laugh, because he's so great, it is the one and only Sherrod Small. Hey, Sherrod.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh my God, so excited to have you both on. And just a quick note to listeners, we have had massive technical issues this episode, so please forgive any minor audio quality changes you may be sensing in this episode. We'll get all these sorted out for next week, but we're still gonna do our darndest to make it sound delightful. All right, let's get into it with topic number one. Okay, so we didn't actually plan on talking about this, but there was just two big stories that came out of New York yesterday. So I just want to get your quick thoughts about it. So first, there's a bit of a COVID surge in America of the unvaccinated. And maybe you've heard. Well, first, just about that COVID surge. Where are you on a scale of one to freak out? Sherrod?
I'm not really freaked out right now because I already predicted that most people won't listen. So we're going to have to do that. And even like in America, like even here, we had a lot of people ticked up, but globally, we still way behind with the shot. So if it ain't working globally, it ain't going to work locally.
Right. And Sina, where are you on that scale?
I'm like with Sherrod. I kind of expected most people, or at least a lot of people, to not get the vaccine and that we would just be dealing with this for an extended period of time. There's going to be people that never want to take the vaccine, and there's also going to be people that are never going to think COVID is ever gone. So you're going to have people that wear masks forever. I think you're going to have the entire spectrum of people. But I've known more people that got the Delta variant now than I did that got COVID, like the regular basic COVID. And that part is surprising to me.
I like to think of it as deluxe COVID. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like a more first class COVID.
Yeah.
And the earlier COVID was more of like a coach.
It's like Disney Plus.
COVID comfort plus.
COVID comfort, extra leg room, COVID. Well, you know, guys, I like to do quick little Googles of Ashish Jha, the epidemiologist out of Brown University, because he's my, I think, dreamiest of epidemiologists on this issue. And he kind of calmed me down, which is like, look, if you got the vaccine, you're going to be fine. But, you know, like it can spread if you're vaccinated, but it's not likely. It's still very, very rare. I mean, I think he said very, very rare, like multiple times. So it's like his point was just like, yes, these things are true, but also don't freak out is kind of the vibe that he gave. So it's like, yeah, am I throwing on a mask when I'm going indoors? I sure am. But I'm not freaking out about it. You know what I mean? And so I don't know. I if you want a nice calm explanation of the variant or whatever, I would do a nice googs of the Ashish Jha from Brown University. He's the dreamiest of the epidemiologists. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about is that basically in response, New York City was like, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go like full France and we're going to do a vaccine passport for all indoor activities. Woo! Starting September 13. So what do you think of that, Sherrod?
I think it's pretty cool because I've been performing back in the club since April.
Right.
And I know like Comedy Cellar and all the other clubs, you have to have a vaccination to get in or you ain't getting in. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have any proof of vaccination, you're not getting in.
Exactly. In fact, I think the first time I ran into you post-pandemic was at New York Comedy Club, where you do have to be show a vaccine card. And one of the things I noticed was like it was not chaotic. I was performing the first weekend they did it. And I thought it was going to be like, what's happening? What do I show? I'm confused. Oh, my God. And like angry audience members. And I don't know. I just had all these expectations and nothing happened. Literally, everyone was just like, oh, yeah, here's my vaccine passport. They had the Excelsior Pass downloaded on their phone. The club people did a little boop of the passport. And then that was it. It was sort of exactly not a big deal. And so, Sina, now that this vaccine passport has sort of been beta tested in New York comedy clubs, among other the dance clubs. What do you think? How do you think this might roll out?
I think people are going to be furious, but I don't think there's a better mover for people than FOMO. More FOMO, the better. That shall move the masses. If you can't go out and hang out and party and get, you know, within 3 feet of Sherrod on stage, you're, you know, grabbing distance. People are gonna get FOMO, man. Come on.
You know, City Winery, actually, I think City Winery did it the best because they wanted their vaccine card, but they also had the rapid test in the lobby because they're not gonna tell.
Oh.
So they rapid test you in the lobby if you didn't have it.
I like that.
But they got a rich clientele, so you know they're going to take care of their clientele at the City Winery.
Yeah, they are. We were, I mean, I performed at Caveat, and we didn't even have that, but we did. But I do think one thing that I've noticed, Sherrod, I don't know if you feel this, but like people in those rooms, A, like shows are still selling out and stuff, so there, whatever it is, there's enough people to do this thing, you know? And the people who are in the room are just having the best time because they're kind of like, I'm not getting COVID in front of any of these people, you know?
Right. They feel relaxed. And plus, I know the Comedy Cellar started it out because they didn't want the comedians to be in danger and their staff to be in danger.
Right.
From catching it.
Right.
Right. So that's why they really enforce it, though. They don't play around. They really enforce it.
And I think, well, one thing, Sina, is a little, like, frustrating and is that there isn't, like, a national vaccine passport. And maybe that's coming. Maybe that's on the way. Like, Biden was really resisting that because people thought it was an, I don't know, violation of privacy. New York is going to do something like the Key to NYC pass because right now Excelsior Pass only like can verify if you have been vaccinated within the state of New York. But if you haven't been vaccinated in New York, you can't use the Excelsior Pass. So Excelsior Pass has been great for residents, but what people are going to want to get if they want to visit New York is called the Key to NYC Pass. Do you think other cities are going to follow suit, Sina, and follow suit? But also, do you think they'll follow sweetly, like sweetly in a really in the cute
yes,
way?
In a three-piece suit. Yeah, I think so. So I actually view this issue as like a very controversial issue, very similar to how we passed gay marriage, to how we're actually getting cannabis reform actually passed through, that it starts with states individually doing it themselves. And then enough states create that momentum for the nation to be able to do something, because there's not enough political will that Republicans or even conservative Democrats have yet to actually push this thing in Congress across the finish line. There's just too much furor out there. So if we get some more FOMO on that sandwich, I think we can get it through Congress.
And plus, you've got to keep in mind now, the New Yorker in me also I've seen the fake cards, the fake vaccine stuff. The you know, people got, you know, they making them themselves on a computer and selling them. And I saw one that looked like this. That looked like the regular stuff.
Yeah.
It looked like the same thing.
That's the most New York thing ever. Yeah. It's just.
That's so New York. When we see a hole in the system.
Which is why the Excelsior Pass is so much more comforting, because you're like, well, that's been actually verified through the state records. And if they just did that on a national basis and say, hey, states, you can use this or not use this, but like here's like the record of everybody so that people can travel freely. I mean, I think that would be great, right? Like, let's get people traveling again and all that stuff. Anyways, let's move on to the second piece of news out of New York. The state attorney general's office came out with a 165-page report, so they were pretty thorough, that I have not read, by the way. But this 165-page report is apparently very detailed, and it basically finds that Governor Cuomo did in fact engage in sexual harassment, and some women testified to being basically quote completely violated by him. Cena, what do you think should happen now?
I told everybody. I told this guy, everyone, when everyone was going on about Andrew Cuomo, he's such a hero. He's our COVID hero guy. I was like, he's still a shithead. He's always been this guy. He's just public now, delivering his like surly uncle Andy, the Italian creep from down the street that comes over at Thanksgiving and makes you feel uncomfortable. He's always been this guy. He has not changed. It's just now, finally, there's enough momentum again to like actually get this guy in the public sphere and get him answering for things that he's done. People aren't afraid anymore as like they used to be of standing up to people like this, and I applaud it coming out. Finally, people understand that this guy, he just cares about himself. He's a political figure. He's been in politics since he was a child. What else do we expect from him?
Sharad.
Yes, well, first of all, when it first started, I was like, okay, did he really do something? Is this really something here? Or are they just trying to prosecute him for being a middle-aged Italian man?
right.
What a marginalized group of men.
Because I know the guy at the pizzeria who does the same thing. He touches everybody's face and hugs you. He's at the pizzeria. So I'm like, is it illegal to be an Italian man nationally? But then once I saw that report, I was like, no, this is different. This is a lot of stuff, a lot of grabbing and touching that you don't supposed to be grabbing and touching, like body parts. Yeah. It's like, that's a whole different. When you touch somebody face and give him a kiss, that's one thing. Saying, Mamma Mia. No, I get that. But when you grab his body, I can help you get through some traumatic situation. Like, no, you're going too far.
Guys, New York City is the stereotype that Sharad is pointing out. By the way, Cuomo denies the report, and he says it's politically motivated, and you know, he gave a statement like talking about his own family member's experience with sexual violence and that he wouldn't do that because of that experience, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, he denies this, but I think like what make the difference is in March, he denied it as well, but welcomed the review from the attorney general's office. Now the review is out and the review finds it's no good. And so now I'm sort of like, you know, you said, yes, please investigate. And now that they have, I mean, you should accept the findings. You know what I mean? Like this is what it is. And I want to say one thing, which is that I'm really glad we waited for this report, you know, before he resigned, or, you know what? I didn't want to see another situation where it's just unclear whether or not someone did something. You know what I mean? I like the clarity. I like these 160 65 pages of clarity. You know what I mean? And that, makes it very clear to me that, like, okay, no, now there should be like decisive action, right? Now, Cena, he says he's
not. But Cuomo didn't wait, though. One second. Cuomo, we waited for the decision, but he had this pre-prepared video ready for when this thing dropped with all these clips and hugging. I mean, or he had the whole graduation video.
Oh, are you saying that wasn't an impromptu montage? He just had an editor doing like a live montage. Yeah, he did not wait. I mean, you know, maybe he got wind or whatever. I think part of it that is what's also interesting is that, like, he's from another time. And these things have been changing for years now, but he hasn't changed with them. So it's not like these allegations are from 15 years ago. And he's like, well, I'm a different person now. And my record of the last 5 years can show that. No, there's some stuff in here from like last year, you know? I think he's from another time who was then also completely unwilling to recognize the changing role of women, you know what I mean, in the rightful, you know, changing
in
role
politics,
of women.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. I think that he, well, one thing he said is he's still going to run for a fourth term. We don't term limit governors here, which is crazy.
Right.
So, Cena, what do you think about the boldness of that statement?
You know, this year, my wife and I moved to Los Angeles, and I haven't really missed New York, only though when I watched the primaries for the mayoral race, and then now I'm going to really miss New York when the primaries happen for governor, because it is going to be like the SNL auditions from years ago, right? It's going to be just character actors coming up, doing bits. It's going to be amazing. You're going to have people with more credits than half the Academy in Hollywood coming out trying to be governor. I cannot wait for this. He's going to get voted out. He's everyone is upset with him now. You can't do this stuff. Also, when you say, like, when the governor comes out and says, I deny this claim or these, it's, you've got to deny, make a denial on every page, on 165 pages. You got to tell
right.
me what you're denying. I want to hear every single
response.
We're going to
need, right. We're going to need 165 different edited montages. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To like refute.
But New York voters are funny though. They can circle the wagons and say, we ain't going to let the country pick our candidate. So we're going to stick behind him because he did other good stuff. You never know how voters will go. Like, they feel territorial sometimes over these losers.
There
right.
are
right.
losers.
No, I mean, I can, and it's all, that's also a generational thing because I can.
Like, he's our loser.
I can see people like in our parents' generation being like, oh, they've gone too far. I'm going to vote for him again. Like, I can see there being a crazy generational divide in the voting pattern of this.
You know,
thing, you
I
know?
Think they would have the argument of just like, what, did he touch you? Did he make your life win? Did he grow up you? Huh? What's the big deal? Is your life not better now? Huh? You want Trump? You want Trump to be governor? That's the New York argument there. That's
folks. All right. Well, let me know, folks, what you think should happen with Cuomo. Are you excited about passport and vaccine passports, or are you scared, annoyed? I don't know. Let me know what you think on all of the places where we talk to each other. And then we're going to take a quick break and learn about our sponsors. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the Olympics. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we are back and we're ready for topic number two. Okay, so let's talk about the Olympics. First off, are you guys watching them?
Yeah, I'm watching. Tokyo, I'm paying attention. You can't not watch. Once the Olympics are on, you turn it on, you see the competition, you're in. Definitely when you see the flags and we might win something, it drags in. You can't stay away from it once you see it. But I know that the viewership is down this year, but you know, everything's down this year. But I think the athletes still deserve, you know, our attention because these guys, you know, they battled their whole lives to get this opportunity. And you never know when it's going to come or not come. So I'm supporting them.
Cena, have you been watching?
Yeah, my wife and I have been watching. We got that YouTube TV, and it'll categorize the sports for you and stuff. So we got to watch, like, archery and some of these other weird ones and stuff. There's 3-on-3 basketball this year. I don't mind. People, I think, have such high expectations for the entertainment value of the Olympics, but really this is a way for us to show national pride and, like, cheer these folks on that, like, to Sherrod's point, have been working way harder than us. They work so much harder than we do. The least we could do is sit, eat chips on our backs on our couch and just like be like, all right, pretty good. That was 22 flips. And then they perfectly fell into the water, dived into the water. That's amazing.
Now, I feel for the people in Tokyo, though, because, I mean, if it was in New York, I wouldn't want
to. First of all, Cena, I don't know anyone who's ever bragged about having YouTube TV. So let's just put that, just want to point that out real quick.
New sponsor.
I know. Who's paying for this podcast, guys? It's funny because my husband is an absolute Summer Olympic zealot. By the way, not Winter Olympics, only Summer Olympic zealot.
Yeah, that's the one.
He jokes about getting, you know how a lot of swimmers have, like, you could see tattoos, Olympic ring tattoos on their backs and stuff like that. He jokes about getting one of those tattoos, but, like, on the bottom, say, like, having a tag that says, like, only summer, though, or something, you know? Because that's, like, how much. And he, like, we were away for a few days. He DVR'd. You know, we have Peacock. He doesn't even know. But anyways, he DVR'd. It was just like a just in case multiple days worth of Olympics so that he could come back and watch it. So like I am just fucking swimming in it. And it's not something I've ever really watched. I usually catch a little bit here and there, like just as a matter of turning on the TV and flipping through channels. But it's never been something that I have like really paid that much attention to. I like to know about the little scandals, the, you know, like a Ryan Lochte getting drunk in Brazil or something, you know, those things are fun.
Yeah.
But my husband really, really is into the athleticism. And so, which brings me to the Simone Biles situation. She actually withdrew after taking a stumble, and she said she felt, quote, lost in the air, and that I tried to go out there and have fun, but once I came out here, I was like, no, mental's not there. So she was pretty kind of frank in her own assessment of herself. What do you think about, I mean, look, every time, listeners know this, every time I talk about anything regarding sports, I feel like I might as well be talking about the history of Sri Lanka. I just have no idea what I'm saying. So all of these words may be wrong, but I guess this was a big deal that she came out and said this. To me, I was like, oh, it just sounds like a normal, like, hey, good for you. Yeah, you figured that out. You know what I mean? But in the sports world, I guess people just like never do this. Was it shocking to you guys? Like, what does it mean to you that she did this?
To me, it wasn't shocking. Because the way she explained it, I was like, okay, I get that. She was like, well, she fell on her back after the parallel bars. And she said when she was in midair, she didn't know which way was up or down.
Right.
And she landed flat on her back, hard. So it's like, that's scary, being that far up in the air and you're not locked in like that. And you don't know which way is up or down. You try to land.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother ballgame. So the way she explained it, I was like, I get that. You got to be in the right mind space. Sometimes other things pull at you in life so hard, you can't lock in on and concentrate on what you're doing. Definitely as far as like a sports activity.
And I just have to say, I really get it because sometimes I'm sitting in my desk chair and I'll do a swivel and I don't know how long that swivel's going to last. You know what I mean? And I have a little, is it the same? It must be the same. Cena, what did you think of Simone? And by the way, Simone Biles, I think she's like a 4-time gold medalist, blah, blah, blah. She's like, the way my husband talks about her, she's maybe, you know, the premier athlete
most
in all of the world.
Most decorated gymnast in American history.
Exactly.
Tied to be the most decorated gymnast in American history. No, she's a phenomenon.
Yeah, I don't understand all the hate. I think I viewed it as just like a very normal and very responsible thing that she was doing. I kind of equated it similarly, Nagin. It's like, have you ever walked from like your living room or into the kitchen and then you're like, why am I in here? Imagine doing 20 flips and you're like, why am I?
Yep.
And this is the maximum amount of physical output we do, which is walking from the living room to the kitchen in COVID. And everyone's so angry that she's not like breaking her legs. You know, Dominique Mociano from when I was a kid, she went and did the balance beam with a broken tibia. There's countless stories of gymnasts that are playing with like, you know, a broken this or sprained that, and that they have problems later in life. Look at the NFL, for crying out loud. We don't talk about mental health enough. And you got Aaron Hernandez. You got these guys that are going on high-speed police chases because they have brain damage. They have the brain of an 80-year-old man when they're 40. It's like the mental health, the brain health is way more important than the physical health. We know how to cure physical problems. We actually don't know much about the brain.
I think in sports you deal with it more than people even imagine, because like in other sports, like baseball, for instance, like pitchers, that's why you have a coach, a manager, because he sees when this guy's losing it or he's not locked in right now, or he's, so you can pull him and replace him. And nobody go like this, what happened to that dude? His mental illness. No, they're like, no, it's time to bring him out. He's going to do all the meets that you signed up for. Your coach can't pull you out and pull somebody else in there.
And there's an entire bullpen of pitchers. They've got like a dozen pitchers that freak out after four innings and they got to bring in somebody else.
For that reason, that's mostly mental health. It might be your arm getting tired too, but it's also the situation you're in, how many men on, how many points you're down, and can he sustain that mentally? Yeah.
You know, my husband is was a high school football player and then a college football player. And he told me a story about one time he played one of the parts that you don't get very many head things. I don't know. Okay. Well, again, I don't know what I'm talking about.
A musical? You said one of the parts.
He was a baritone tight end. And
baritone position. Got it. Why baritone? Got it.
So he played that part. And so anyways, but one time he hit his head or whatever, and he was like disoriented.
Oh, yeah.
And the coach asked him, I think this was in high school, and the coach asked him, "What's your name?" And he goes, Jared? And his name is Jason. Anyway,
he's like,
Jared? And the coach is like, "All right, you're fine." And literally kept him in the game.
Of course. All right, Jared, good job. Get back in there, buddy. Hey, everybody. Jason is now Jared, okay? Just keep going for the rest of the game.
Let's just go with that. So I feel like from physical to mental, we've made strides from the 90s when he was playing in the early 2000s when he was playing in high school. We've made strides for how we treat athletes in general. I mean, I feel like everything has changed.
Agreed.
Because we think of athletes like we revere them, like they're always unflappable. And I think for the most part, right, you look at a Serena Williams or you look at a Michael Jordan or whatever, they are like 99.9% of the time unflappable, which is why and how they win. You know, they have such an intense mental game.
Right.
But it's like you then have to accept that there are those times where they are flappable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's got to be uncomfortable. That 1% time that when Michael Jordan loses it, we don't get to see that. But it happens.
Right. It happens. And so it's weird. And I think the nice thing about like Naomi Osaka and like Simone Biles or whatever, like these younger athletes are like, hey, guys, I'm going to be honest about that 1% of the time, you know, where I'm not great. And I think that's it also just I feel like speaks to a generational thing about how people in that age group are just more open book because they post everything about their lives and all this shit. And, you know, back in the day, people were honestly like just more private about those shortcomings, you know?
Right. Being that vulnerable in public. Yeah, we were scared of being vulnerable and showing weakness in public. But that's the strength of being a human. Showing people what you get past and what you got to get over and overcome to become what you're doing or to accomplish what you're doing. So I think it's great that everybody's sharing it, but I don't want, you know, there's also other side of this where it can, you know, it can ruin sport because now we're just holding hands in a circle and nobody's playing football.
Right. Well, part of it is too, like, we're still dealing with a pandemic. Like, obviously when you look at the games, you're like, oh, these are not the same games. There's usually tons and tons of people in the stands. It's really like, it's very festive. You know, there was a period of adjustment for me as like someone who doesn't ever really follow any of this shit. There was a period of adjustment for me watching to be like, oh, it doesn't feel the same, you know?
I think like sports people, though, since we watched the NBA and everybody else do it already, that we were already prepared for it.
Right.
But the NBA did it with no fans. NFL did it with no fans. So we was like, we're ready for no fan shows now.
Right.
When the Olympics came, we were already accustomed in America to it, if you were like a sports watch.
Sina, you had one more thought to share on this, I think?
Yeah, it kind of makes me realize that I think a lot of the big athletes now are redefining what is enough. And I think before, there was never enough. There was always something you could achieve. And I think, you know, top athletes today are seeing their lives more holistically and like, what is enough in this moment? Can I give everything that I have right now? And what is the cost of giving everything I have right now? What is that going to do to me later? Am I going to lose my mind? Am I going to lose my legs? I'd like to walk when I'm 60. Those are like real questions I think people are asking that never happened before, really.
Yeah. And you got to be mindful because you got some guys like Tom Brady who making it look like, oh, okay, you can play forever and keep winning. And then you got some guys who, you know, 3-4 years, they can't walk, or they got the knees of a 60-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Tom Brady transfuses the blood of young people through his body, so that's a little different.
Not know that.
Yeah,
nice.
True story. He's a vampire.
It looks good on him.
No, is it in the form of a facial? Because he looks quite good. All right, let us move on to topic number 3. There is a thing called smell dating. Basically, this is coming out straight out of Russia, okay? And what they're doing in Russia, Sina just did a little Russian dance, I believe that was. By the way, Sina's been doing this entire show with a JPEG of Sherrod Small behind him. So it's really just, it looks like you were dancing with Sherrod is what's happening.
Dance with my father again.
Okay, so this is what happens with smell dating. So they basically take candidates, you know, they met at a park or whatever. They worked up a high intensity. They did a high intensity exercise together. And then they had people take these cotton pads and rub them against their underarms and then put the cotton pads in a jar. And then each cotton pad was assigned a number. And so you didn't know who it belonged to. And then the other participants would go up to each jar and smell it and then determine and then rank which top three they thought were compatible. The idea being that the number one metric for compatibility should be smell. So my first question is just like, what do you think?
I can't believe this is something that just came out of Russia. I've been doing smell dating since 98. I have been very pro smell. I actually talk about it very frequently. I love getting in with the funk. I actually am a big armpit smeller. It's very much connected to my pheromones. It's crazy that there's all this smell shaming that's going on in the world. I frankly feel more seen than I've ever been in my entire life because of this article.
I'm really glad I could give you this experience, Sina. Thank and you. I'm so sorry to have oppressed you for so long.
Well.
Sherrod, has smell like been on your radar in the dating world at all?
Oh, yes, of course. Smell's always there. Smell's right up there with, you know, sight and taste. But if you go on for pheromones, though, I hate to be the scientist in this. 80% of the human pheromones, like any mammal, comes out of your asshole.
You're proving my case here, Sherrod.
Take that. Yes, 80%. Don't you see when dogs go up to each other and smell their buttholes?
Yeah.
80% get the whole story from that. That's going to say mammals, just like the rest of us. So 80%, not your hair, not your neck, not your underarm, is your butthole. 80% of your pheromones.
Also, I like how Sherrod was like, not to be the scientist here. Like, where did you get your degree? The New York Comedy Club is doing a degree certificate now for scientists.
The Comedy Cellar is handing out PhDs.
I don't watch enough Fauci. Piping hot D.
Piping hot D. That's so stupid. Okay. So, Dr. Sherrod, would you, so what's weird about this to me is I feel like I'm weird though, because if you guys are both like, yeah, duh, smell, I just feel like for me, smell must be operating so much more unconsciously. Like I'm not actively noticing it. I'm sure I've noticed a smell. Like I notice if someone is like just not wearing deodorant. Like if someone shows up to a date and they don't have like, and they smell like BO, I'm like, well, that's not nice. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't notice.
I prefer somebody to say you smell good to you look good.
I love that. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Wow. You guys are so much more smell oriented than I had anticipated. well, this one random Russian who was at this park, by the way, we read this piece in Walrus, and it was so fascinating. But this random Russian dude said, perfumes have made civilization false. Before, when humans lived in small groups, the village community could smell each other. The smell of other humans was a good smell. It meant safety. It was your community. I don't know if this guy got his PhD from the cellar the way you have, Sherrod, but I wonder, do you like, and a couple of people in this, again, these are anonymous people that provided these quotes. But another one was like, oh, I wear odorless deodorant now. And then another person was like, oh, I don't wear deodorant anymore. So there's a lot of like, I don't know if this is, there's a surge in like natural smell people. I do feel like way more people use natural deodorant than they used to.
I hate a natural deodorant. I got to say that. Yeah. Natural deodorant bugs me. It's like, is somebody wearing a salad dressing? Why is it smelling good?
Well, if it's like a Paul Newman's balsamic vinaigrette, I'm okay.
I like a chemical deodorant. Sorry.
I may be into smells, but I don't get behind the natural deodorant stuff. You should be smelling good. Like, not every, I don't vibe with every smell. There are specific, you know, frequency of smells that are going to get me going. All the other smells, they can stay at bay. I don't need them in my life. I don't need them in my olfactory zone.
Right. So, like, when you're in a Paris metro in the middle of summer.
Kill myself.
How are you feeling?
Waterboard me.
Okay. That's where, as listeners may have known about me, I lived in Paris for some time. And when I first learned about kind of like human smells was literally the Paris metro in the middle of summer. I didn't realize that there was such a variety and such an intensity of human smell. It was actually really just the sheer range and the Frenchness of it all that just really I found very impressive. And gag-worthy at times. And then it was extra fun when it was like in the middle of summer and you just finished smelling just all of those smells in the metro and then you walked out of the metro and then someone was masturbating in front of you. You know what I mean? So then that was like a nice twofer.
Well, when you eat all those smells on a train, you want a little dessert when you get off.
Oh, it's crazy. So here's a couple of crazy things I learned about smell from this article that I just found fascinating. A newborn baby, even though they can't move, they will inch towards their mother's mother if they smell their mother. Like they did a test where they had four different mom smells in a crib or something, and the newborns always inched towards their own mother. Because mammals. They can tell. Mammals. Isn't it fucking crazy?
Mammals, just like a litter of meerkats, they all got their own nipple. They all go back to the same nipple in the mother. That's what, like so all, crazy. If you got a litter of four, they don't switch nipples. They all go back to their own, the nipple that they used to sucking on. Ain't that crazy?
The next it's season so of crazy. Planet Earth will be narrated by Dr. Sherrod Small.
They can find it.
Is that what your new Amazon show is about?
I said Fauci making all the money. Why can't I make some of that Fauci money?
But also, like, even adult siblings who haven't seen or smelled each other for more than 2 years can still correctly recognize their brother or sister's unique smell, after that long. They can identify it from, like, a T-shirt or something. You know what I mean?
And it's something comforting in that when you smell something that's, like, you know, your siblings or your mother, your parents or something, you ain't smelling in a while. It's like, oh, that takes me back. I think even with the baby thing, though, like, I love the smell of baby necks. You ever smell the baby neck? It's something in that that makes you want to take care of the child. Mm. It's something in that smell that makes you go, I got to protect this.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can bottle that smell, baby neck smell, we'd be all millionaires.
Well, I think that moms, and then this also I think is true for dads, get an oxytocin like Cena, you're going to learn all about oxytocin in a little bit because he's expecting, but they get an oxytocin hit, and so that makes you kind of more loving and stuff towards them, which is the thing that makes you want to protect them and take care of them and all that stuff. And by the way, this is true for people who have given birth to a child, who have like a DNA match with a child, but also people who have adopted a child develop the same thing within 72 hours. So you don't even have to have given birth, you know?
Right.
And then
there's other things at play. It's other things at play we can't see.
And talk about sniffing butts. Like, they did a test of women just pick out which of these sweaty T-shirts you would rather date. And it turns out that that women preferred the odor of men whose MHC genes were different enough that they shared offspring, that if they shared offspring, they would likely have healthy immune systems. Like, so they're like we're smelling each other's immune systems.
Yep. Yes. That's true. We're mammals, baby.
Right. And we're all secreting information from our butts and then also through our noses.
It's funny to think that, like, yes, we're so primal. We smell something in our biological, like, kind of like DNA, the messaging and everything like that. The framework knows that this is who we want to mate with. And then you go on social media and it's like, of course, our brains don't know how to handle this much information and we're going crazy every day. It's like
who knew that farts were God's emails?
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, folks, let me know. Are you going to sign up for smell dating? How important is smell to you in your dating life? Has it been conscious or unconscious? I feel like really behind. I do. I feel behind because I don't feel like I've had a conscious. Like, I know that my husband, I guess, likes my smell. I mean, I assume we like each other's smell. We've really never talked about it. Like,
I think
okay.
That
so
needs to
I don't
be a
know.
Conversation.
Maybe.
That needs to be its own spin-off podcast. Jason and Eve talk about smell.
You know what? Yeah, we're gonna record it, and it may be the end of our marriage. I don't know. We may discover we don't like each other's smell. It turns out, who knows?
I had a friend of mine actually break up with a girl because he didn't like her under the cover smell.
But liked her hanging out smell.
Liked the hanging out smell, liked all that, but didn't like. Under the cover smell. He just he wasn't like trying not to like it. He was like, it just irritated.
You know what? That's good to know. You got to make your boundaries, you know?
Yeah.
You know, actually, one more anecdote. I met a woman recently, a friend of mine. I didn't know she had this quality. She can smell like everything. She can, if you put food in front of her, she'll be like, oh, you put like rosemary and da da da. And like, she's so, her nose is unbelievably, she can tell you, oh yeah, you're wearing deodorant. Like, she knows, she can smell everything. She can even smell, this is crazy, she can even smell if a pipe is broken in her Manhattan building, because there's a certain, like, whatever, lime deposit type smell or something like that. Yes, and so she can smell a broken pipe. I was like, you need to fucking monetize this skill. You need to just walking around smelling buildings, because there are some broken pipes out here. All right, folks, that is the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for doing the show. And what I would really love is for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you and all the stuff that you do. Sherrod, where do they do that?
Yes, you can go to smallworldcomedy.com, my website, or go to at Sherrod Small on Instagram and at Sherrod underscore Small on Twitter. My new show on Amazon is called Harlem. Tracy Oliver wrote it. It's great. She did a girl trip with Tiffany Haddish. Whoopi Goldberg's in it. Me, Jasmine Guy, Megan Good. It's a bunch of people, and it's had fun shooting.
I cannot wait to see that show. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's fun.
Cena, where do people find you?
I'm at Cena Now on all social media. You could check out fraudsters.fm. It's our website. We just launched it last week. You can find some fun merch down there, like our Cleo 2020 hat from our Miss Cleo episode. And you can find our podcast exclusively on Spotify. Fraudsters.
Oh my God. Such a great podcast. Please get thee to a listening station. And folks, you know where to find me on all of the socials and all of that stuff. I have a new column out in the Progressive magazine. I'll be posting that about that soon. It is about my personal journey, if you want to call it that, with chopsticks. Yeah, I write at length about chopsticks. So get ready to read about that. Otherwise, I would love to thank all the people that make this show happen. That's our wonderful producer, Julia Linden, our wonderful audio engineer, Stephanie Aguilar, all the fantastic people at HeadGum that make this show possible. Our theme music is by Gabby Alter. And folks, if you have any ideas for the show, segment ideas, guest ideas, just ideas, feel free to email me at fakethenation@headgum.com. Again, that's fakethenation@headgum.com, because we love to hear from you. And we especially love it when you post a review in Apple Podcasts, because it really, really helps people find the show. It's like a algorithm thingy. So post your reviews so people can find us. And that is the end of the show. We'll be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.